Small crowd, but folks are listening on Zoom, so we'll go through the whole presentation tonight. So thank you for joining us. My name is Michael Spaeth. I'm a principal planner with the town of Oral Valley, and I'm going to be serving as tonight's meeting facilitator for our small discussion. As facilitator, I want to point out that my role is to be neutral in the conversation. We do have other staff members who are going to be presenting from staff's perspective on the application, but I need to be neutral tonight. We want to hear your questions, your comments, your opinions. If there are things that you can see as part of the applicant's proposal that could maybe be adjusted and help mitigate some concerns you might have, we'd like to have a conversation about those things as well. So I do want to point out for those of you who haven't been to the town campus before here, out the doors you came in, we do have restrooms and a drinking fountain if you need those. Also, please go ahead and silence your cell phones if you haven't done that, out of respect for other participants in the meeting. Shown on screen here, and if you grabbed one of the handouts for our ground rules for neighborhood meetings, essentially it boils down to just be respectful, please. Be respectful of other participants, be respectful of staff, and be respectful of the applicant as well. For those folks listening on Zoom, your mics will remain muted until we get to the question and answer period of tonight's meeting, and I'll provide further detail about how to interact when we get to that point. Can I see a show of hands from the folks here? Did you get a yellow card for tonight's meeting? A few of you did? Great. Okay, that means you're already on our notification list, so should this application move forward, you will be notified of all upcoming meetings. But for those of you who didn't, by signing in tonight, you will be added to our notification list and get those updates as well. We are scheduled to go to 7:30 tonight. Of course, if there are more questions and comments that haven't been addressed by that point, staff and the applicant, of course, are going to stay afterwards to answer any other questions that you may have. So where are we in the process? So we do have a neighborhood or an informational video that was posted on September 16th. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to listen to that. That probably answered a lot of questions that you may have about the applicant's proposal. And of course, we're here at the first neighborhood meeting. So we do not have a formal submittal at this point, but we do anticipate one soon. Now, town requires an applicant to go through a neighborhood meeting process prior to receiving that or submitting that formal submittal in the hopes that we will hear some comments and feedback that can actually help shape that moving forward. So I would like to point out that it is the property owner's request. It is not the town's request. We, of course, are required by state law to provide due process of those applications, but it is the property owner's, and it'll be their charge to seek, create, and justify why their project should be approved. I would also like to point out that because we're early in the process, tonight is really the best opportunity to effectuate change on the applicant's proposal. Again, we don't have that formal submittal, but hopefully the conversations and any mitigation things we can come up with tonight can be worked into that actual submittal when it's submitted. Moving forward, once we have that formal submittal, we will work with the applicant on achieving code compliance. And then we'll have another neighborhood meeting and have the applicant bring that back, that revised plan back, to show you what that formal application looks like. And these applications do require consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council. So for tonight's agenda, we want to make sure that everybody leaves here with the necessary background information on the property and the applicant's proposal. So to do that, we're going to have Mr. Kyle Packer. He's a planner with the town, and the town's primary staff reviewer is going to provide you with some of that background information and then provide a brief overview of the applicant's proposal. Then we're going to turn it over to Mr. Olin, who is the representative of the property owner and the applicant, who's going to give a much more detailed presentation about what their request is. After that, we're going to turn it over to you, have some question and answer period with folks here as well as the folks on Zoom, so we can try and move through that as efficiently as possible. And then finally, we'll finish the meeting with just kind of a summary of the upcoming meetings moving forward. So with that, I do ask that you please hold your questions until both presentations are done, because hopefully they will address some of the questions you may have. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Packer.
Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Again, my name is Kyle Packer. I'm a planner with the Town of Oro Valley and the lead planning staff reviewer reviewing this project. I'd like to start off just by a brief overview of the location. It's outlined in this slide in blue. It is approximately 41 acres just east of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and north of Tangerine Road. As you can see here, Valley Vista is just to the north of this project, and Big Wash is to the east, with some open space south and west, and then the Horizons subdivision just beyond that. The applicant is proposing 56 lots with one- and two-story detached homes accessed through a single access point off of Moore Loop. This project, as proposed, requires a Type 2 general plan amendment as well as a rezoning. So I'd like to start just with a little bit of description of what a general plan is or what the town's general plan is. It's a long-range policy document that guides the town by providing a vision for the future that has been ratified by the town voters. So it also comes with a land use map that guides the intended uses for the town. And within that scope, the general plan land use map has identified this site currently for a school use. That's the kind of right-hand side of the figure here. And the applicant is proposing to shift this to medium density residential within the general plan designation. Now that was the left hand of the side. On the right hand side of this slide is the additional step that will be needed, which is to perform a rezoning for this property. Now this property currently has Rancho Vistoso Cultural Institution zoning, which allows uses such as public and charter schools, as well as churches for context. The applicant is proposing to shift this to Rancho Vistoso medium density residential zoning, which would have basically the kind of product that the applicant is describing. Now I'd like to take a moment here to clarify that while both the general plan designation and the Rancho Vistoso zoning are medium density residential, they're actually two separate items. The general plan designation, again, indicates the kind of use that the town would prefer or has identified for a site to develop to, and the Rancho Vistoso zoning of medium density residential actually has the design guidelines for that development, such as height restrictions, setback restrictions, that kind of thing. Looking to the parcel's history, this property was actually identified as medium high density residential back in its initial adoption within the Rancho Vistoso planned area development in 1987. However, in 2009, as part of a larger general plan amendment and rezoning process within Rancho Vistoso, this property was shifted to the cultural institution zoning that it now holds. And this was intended to accommodate a school site for AmFi. However, that hasn't come to fruition, and the AmFi school district has since returned the property to the current property owners. Now, I'd like to go over the town's review criteria. Again, the general plan is one of the primary documents that staff review a project or a proposal against. And within this document is a number of elements, such as the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies, and then again that general land use map. This document was ratified by the voters most recently in 2016, and it acknowledges that a major part of a general plan is that amendments will be made throughout the lifespan of that plan. And specifically, it describes the amendment process, which includes tonight's neighborhood meeting, and describes that that should be used because of its robust public engagement process. With that in mind, the plan includes amendment criteria for evaluating amendment proposals. Specifically, projects must generally conform to the vision, guiding principles, and goals of the general plan and appropriately address neighbor concerns. And lastly, I'd like to touch again on those zoning standards within the Rancho Vistoso PAD MDR, or Medium Density Residential Zoning District. This area, this zoning designation has a minimum lot size of 5,000 square feet, maximum height of 30. And has the front, side, and rear yard setbacks described here, 20 feet for the front yard, 5 feet for side yards, or 0 feet for attached products. However, the applicant is currently not proposing attached products. And then 10 feet for the rear yard. So those are going to be the key elements that staff will review for the formal submittal that comes in with this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Packer. It is 2-4. That microphone's out. Maybe you just can turn this one on back here, Carlos. Does that work for you, Mr. Rowland, or what would you prefer? Now we're going to turn it over to Mr. Rowland and do the presentation as soon as we get the microphones situated. Please bear with us on Zoom. We are getting mics switched over.
Great, thank you. As Mr. Packer indicated, my name is Paul Oland. I am representing the property owner in this request. It's actually a very simple request, and Mr. Packer did cover a number of the basics. So I'll just touch on a couple of the finer points in terms of what we're proposing here. The overall school site, that blue shape that was on his overall map, is what is shown here in kind of a black and white dotted line like that. So of that area, only the portion in the middle is actually proposed for development. As you know, I'm sure most of you are from Horizons or Valley Vista, but there's a good hill right here along the edge of the property separating this land from the Horizons project. That hill will be preserved. There's also a large area out in the wash here that will also be preserved, but which is within the overall property. So I just wanted to clarify that whole blue shape is not proposed for development. Access will be off of Moore Loop right here, which is actually where the school district was proposing to have access when they had the property. Now my green line doesn't line up, Mike. So same access point that the school was proposing to use when they were going to develop this as a K-8, possibly middle school. That's how it was described. And what they were proposing to do was basically use the area that we're showing for homes as buildings and parking areas and other facilities. And then they were proposing ball fields out in the wash here that would have been multi-use or baseball, but they were proposing to light those fields as well. Our lot sizes are the minimum, Mr. Packer mentioned, is 5,000 square feet. We're actually proposing 6. It's a 50-foot by 120-foot, which is exactly the same as up there at Valley Vista. We've got buffer yards around the entire perimeter. Where necessary along there. We don't have a buffer yard to the open space over there because there's so much already provided. And then the hillside over here far exceeds the town's minimum buffer yard requirements on the on the southwest side as well. So utilities, we're going to be actually connecting into this sewer station right here. When we designed the Pulte project, that sewer lift station was actually designed to accommodate a school on this parcel. So this is going to create less flow than a school would have, but it'll still work to utilize that connection. And then water will be connected into Oro Valley's infrastructure around there. So basically, in a nutshell, this proposal will have less of an impact than the original medium high density residential that was planned for it. It'll also have less of an impact from a traffic and grading and lights standpoint than would the school that was proposed there as well. And there's about a 60-foot elevation drop as you go across here. So even a 30-foot two-story home will have zero impact on those views. So when this came back to the developer from the school district, we kind of threw everything back on the table because it had some stronger zoning in the past, and talked to folks who might be interested in developing it. And there was, of course, a wide range of ideas, including some higher density stuff. But we felt that given that this is 100% infill here between a residential neighborhood and a residential neighborhood, the best approach would just be to basically propose exactly what's already there. So we felt that would be the most compatible use and really would fit pretty well in there. So that's all of the details that I have that Mr. Packer didn't mention, but of course happy to answer questions as that section of the meeting comes up.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Olin. Now that we're done with the presentations, it's the most important point of the meeting. We're going to open it up to questions both here in the room as well as folks on Zoom. If you've got more than one question, that's great. Try and keep it to one question at a time and try and be succinct out of respect for other participants tonight. This goes for Mr. Olin as well as town staff. If you hear any jargon tonight or an acronym or something that doesn't seem familiar to you, please don't hesitate to raise your hand. We'll try and rephrase it in another way that is more understandable. For those of you folks on Zoom, let me pull up the slide. To be able to ask a question, you're going to have to activate your computer-generated hand that is shown here in a yellow circle. Now, depending on what device you're on, it may be at the top or the bottom of your screen. For those participating on phone, you'll need to use *9 to unmute or to raise your hand and *6 to unmute. Anybody having issues with Zoom can always call Ms. Melini Sims at 520-229-4836 with help with Zoom. You'll notice Mr. Packer over here is going to be taking notes as well. So we want to make sure you folks understand that your voice was heard. We'll be jotting that down and turning that into a neighborhood meeting summary of tonight's conversation that will ultimately help town staff develop a recommendation, and then we forward those to decision makers as well to help inform their decision. Both the presentation tonight and tonight's video will be posted on ovprojects.com, so don't feel like you need to take pictures of anything. It'll be available for you. So with that, is there anybody in the room that has a question or anybody on Zoom that has a question? Miss Jessica Hines going to be walking around with our microphone. I'll come to you next, sir.
I'll hold the mic.
Okay, great. So I have several concerns and some questions. In the project overview that was submitted, there's a lot of inaccuracies listed here. The first thing that comes to mind is that, and it's been pretty much glazed over, that there would be no push ridge views obstructed by this neighborhood with potential 30-foot tall two stories, and having that row of homes immediately buffer, you know, backing the Valley Vista neighborhood. Those homes were purchased by many people knowing that that was a school and a cultural site, not two-story homes. And so there were large lot premiums along there that people paid. So to quickly just assume that the only people who care about views are the Horizon neighborhood is crazy. You look at the Valley Vista folks who just recently built homes there, and if they have a 30-foot two-story built behind them, that will certainly obstruct views. And so that is misleading in that project overview. So that's my first question. By the way, I did submit a long email with bullet-pointed questions. Never got a reply. That was over a week ago.
What was your name, sir?
First name's Dan, last name's Leonard.
Thank you.
I'm a property owner on Kalala.
Sure. And so to answer your first question, I would kick it to Mr. Olin to see if there's something that can be done along that northern edge to maybe mitigate that concern. And just to point out, so that project overview would have been supplied by the applicant. That wasn't necessarily from the town,
sure,
per se,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I understand.
And I'm sure we received the email, which we can certainly provide some responses to moving forward. So, Mr. Roland, anything
sure.
you...
I would just say, sir, are you along that edge there?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to come meet with you, if that's all right. Look out your back window, stand in your backyard, stand behind your house, wherever, and see what kind of views, where you're concerned, and then we can talk about what the actual impacts might be. The distances we're talking about, it's going to be at least 100 feet to the homes, and more in some cases, and so...
Where that corner meets for the Valley Vista neighborhood, I mean...
It's at least 100 feet from house to house in all
okay,
cases.
Okay, then the map looks pretty misleading because...
So,
yeah. I mean, they're almost touching on that corner there.
So the property boundary does encompass a larger area, and then the property boundary of the Valley Vista plat, that subdivision, actually includes a strip of common area behind the homes as well. And so... when you're talking about from home to home, it truly is at least 100 feet in all cases. But again, I'd love to come look at that with you. We can talk about it. We can actually set up a poll so you can see what we're talking about and look at what kind of impacts they might actually be.
Sure. And that would be fine. But again, just pointing out that it also says that the homes are 60 feet lower, which is backwards. They're at least 60 feet higher in horizon, but it just completely disregards. There's nothing mentioned in here about the Valley Vista. And so that part of it seems very misleading. If you're not in the know or paying attention, you would think, oh, well, this neighborhood's not going to block any views. And if there is a 30-foot two-story, I don't care if it's 100 feet away building to building, it's going to block views of Push Ridge, especially down at the eastern end of the proposed neighborhood.
Yeah, let's get together. I really don't think that's probably how it is. I remember looking at this when we designed the Valley Vista subdivision and walking that site and seeing where all the views are from. And there's actually a fair amount of fall, right? From Moore Loop down to the east, southeast,
sure.
Right? So the land naturally falls. So the westernmost homes along that edge are higher than the eastern, and this one will step down as well. And so I really think it would help to get together and look at it in the field, and I think that'll probably mitigate a lot of your concern.
And I from a staff perspective, I can just add to you that as part of a rezoning a site analysis, that's a very involved document that's required before it goes to commission and council. So that is definitely view impacts, view corridors, view sheds are definitely a big component of those documents as well. So we'll, again, we're early in the process, but we will be getting a lot more information as we move forward. So
sure. Okay. And I have more questions, but I'll
let
somebody
else. I think
there
was one right here, Jessica, if you don't mind. And if anybody on Zoom has any questions, please raise your hand and we'll bounce over there.
Okay. I'm David Newberg. I live on Lauterbrunnen Lane. So you developed Valley Vista, and this is very similar in height elevation to Valley Vista. Were you denied two-story houses in Valley Vista? Because I don't see any two-story houses in Valley Vista either subdivision. And maybe these gentlemen could address that. And I think I watched your video, and it said it's like similar zoning. So I assume those would all be one-story houses there. That would make it similar zoning, same lot size, same height. There aren't any two-story high houses except up on the hill, I think there's two-story houses. So that's my only concern, basically, that if you were denied two stories for Valley Vista, then why didn't you build them there?
Sure. So when we zoned that, I don't believe there was any such restriction. My guess is that the reason the one stories were built there is because there's just a strong market preference for one story. Most builders will buy a one story over a two if they can get the square footage they want in one. And so of the models that were offered there, you know, I don't work for Pulte. I wasn't involved in the home sales, but if people can get what they want in a one story, that's what they'll buy almost every time. So I would guess that's why that happened. I don't remember a restriction at all. I think that the buyers probably decided.
Mr. Olin, I mean, so we've heard some concerns about single versus double story. Are you willing to entertain doing single story in certain areas, or?
No, I really don't think that having a second story in this project is going to have an impact on nearby neighbors. And again, I think we can demonstrate that.
Okay. Gentleman in the back, and then we'll come to you again, sir.
Yeah, I had the same concern about the two-story versus one-story. There are no one-story or two-story houses in the Valley Vista neighborhood, and the builder didn't offer them, which is why there are none there. And we looked at those model homes, and there were no two-story homes offered. We are in the Horizons neighborhood. We look down on this. Having two-story houses would impact our view of the valley, which is very pretty. And it's not just the mountain views that people are the value around here. So I am concerned about having two-story houses there, and would think that to be consistent with the Valley View neighborhood, one story should be the limitation on that. We are concerned about excessive growth in the area, realizing that we can't prevent everything, but the desert is certainly much more pleasant to look at than a bunch of houses. And then one last question. Who is the current owner of the property? I mean, you said it wasn't Amphi anymore, but...
Yes, it went back to the original developers of Rancho Vistoso. So they used to own Horizons and Valley Vista and everything else.
Okay, thank you. We actually do have a few hands on Zoom. So, Carlos, if we could get Adam Hughes unmuted, please, and please be sure to be unmuted on your end as well.
Good evening. This is Adam. Can you hear me?
We can. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. I'm also a resident on Kalalau Drive. My home would have butt up to this new development. So I would be like right in the middle, right where that sharp bend is on the map. But I don't think it's appreciated how significant the views are from the south of Valley Vista. You know, the views aren't just going to the east. There's also some really spectacular views going to the south and the southeast. I don't think it's also appreciated that the fact that when Pulte developed Valley Vista, they really did. There's quite a significant cut into the hillside. And so, for example, in the back of my home, there's already probably about an 8-foot cut that I look at. And then the hillside rises above that. And I'm trying to imagine a 2-story 60-foot home, or sorry, 30-foot home already placed on top of an 8-foot cut. So I'm imagining a home that's just going to loom over my house. It's going to be 38 feet above my home. And I know you're proposing a 100-foot buffer, but again, for having purchased the home recently and for having, you know, paid a premium for that view, for having understood that the current zoning was for a school, which, a school, yeah, sure, there's going to be traffic and such, but a school's not going to put a 30-foot tall building right up against my back fence. So we understood that, you know, we'd have more or less open space behind us, even if it was used as a school. So this is a pretty drastic change, you know, in terms of scope. I think my suggestion is, in terms of mitigation, is that instead of a 100-foot buffer, that you need to consider a 200 to 300-foot buffer to really get some good natural space in between the Valley Vista homes and the homes that you're proposing. Also, if you look at the map, you could flip the row of homes that's proposed on the north side of that street. I know you'd have to cut into the hillside, but you could flip those and put most of those on the south side of that street, which then would more or less honor and respect the fact that the Valley Vista residents were there first, that we paid that premium for that view, and try and respect that view and provide that buffer of natural space in between the two subdivisions.
Okay.
I have some other thoughts and some other suggestions, but I don't want to capitalize all the time. So, but I would also appreciate, you know, a visit from one of your company's representatives, because I don't think that you're appreciating the impact that this subdivision would have on that southern row of homes that comes down Calvert Drive.
Sure. So thank you for your comments. And Mr. Hughes, if you would send your name and address to ask@orovalleyaz.gov, that'll get to us, and we'll make sure it gets forwarded to the applicant as well. And yeah, if you've got more questions, that's great. If you want to, we're going to mute you, but if you want to re-raise your hand, you'll come up at the back of the line there online. So
that works. Thank you.
Okay, Carlos, could we please get Keith Fournier? Sorry if I butcher anybody's name.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I strongly agree with everything that's been said, and definitely echo those concerns. You know, obviously we're early in the process, but, you know, if this were to get approved, when is the earliest you'd expect to start building?
Mr. Rowland, any idea?
Or break ground even. I mean, not building houses, but just starting to excavate.
Sure. Well, probably at least 2 years, given how long it takes to process plans and zonings in Oro Valley.
Okay. So it'd be about 2 years from today, give or take.
Yeah, give or take.
That you would start excavating the area behind our neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And same thing, I would appreciate a visit too. So if we can, should I just email that ask@orovalleyaz.gov?
Yes. Yes, please. That would be great.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. We had a couple folks online. Any other folks who haven't asked a question here in the room yet? There being none. Carlos, if we could have Andrew Duncan unmuted, please.
Hi, good evening. This is Andrea Duncan, also a resident in Valley Vista. Would also echo the concerns specifically with the two-story homes and the loss of views in any direction for that. But specific questions is, point of clarity, when you say 100-foot buffer, is that home to home or end of lot to end of lot?
Mr. Rowland?
So that's at the very minimum, it's home to home. But along that edge, you can see that the lots are staggered and they actually get further away, further south. So some of them are much more than that, but at the minimum, it's 100-foot home to home.
So the other concern then is for us personally is privacy. These lots sit up higher. So the ability to look into somebody's yard at less than 100 feet is pretty easy. Is there any consideration of being able to raise the back fences to ensure more privacy, knowing that the zoning for Oro Valley is pretty specific right now?
Sure. Yeah, that's something we can look at, and also probably some additional landscaping back there, which would soften the view in both directions.
Okay. And can I get that address one more time to request a visit?
Sure. It's just ask@orovalleyaz.gov.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Carlos, could we please get Monica promoted? Okay. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can. Yes.
We can. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So my question is 56 lots.
best guesstimate, 2 cars per home, 112 cars or vehicles. When you come down the hill going east to enter the proposed subdivision, there is a median there, which would not allow for a left turn access. So I'm questioning traffic flow and access, and if the one lane each way is going to be sufficient for that. I mean, we've got the Valley Vista where we live. This potential new subdivision and the two subdivisions down the road around the bend on Moore Loop.
Ms. Rowland?
Sure. Yeah, so when we rezoned all of the land along the west bank of Big Wash, which includes Valley Vista and some of the Mattamy subdivisions to the north as well, we did a traffic study at that point to make sure that the Moore Loop was sufficiently sized and engineered to accommodate all those flows, including what was expected from the school, which is a higher volume. So one lane in each direction in terms of flow through will be adequate, and we'll need to do an update to that traffic report as part of this submittal as well. So the town will get to take a fresh look at that. In terms of the median that you mentioned, you're absolutely right. There is no left turn lane. The median was designed to accommodate a future left turn lane when the school goes in. The school is not going to go in, but the median was still designed to accommodate that. So we'll just plan on moving forward with that as planned before.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Rowland. We'll got another question here in the room. Please go right ahead.
So my next question has to do with the just more of a concern about something that not everybody is going to be aware of, and that is at the lift station that you're referencing in Valley Vista, there is some significant subsidence occurring to the land under 3 homes and the lift station itself, or at least the access point for the lift station itself. I'm not personally aware of any current litigation, but I am aware that there is significant sinking in that part of the development. It would seem to me that if this is more of a larger scale issue, it needs to be looked at very closely by both the town of Oro Valley and any developer who would want to come in and invest in that kind of infrastructure. 3 houses are having very significant cracking. You can see, you know, heaving of the walls in that area. And to think that more homes are going to be placed, you know, in that immediate area certainly springs to, you know, makes me have concern, and I'm sure others would have concern. And you may, as a representative of the developer or the landowner, want to explore that as well.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. I've not heard of that, but we'll certainly look into that. I do know that all that area was in fill, so it's a number of feet higher than the natural grade there. So that sounds to me like maybe a compaction issue on the fill, not on the natural dirt. But either way, it's certainly something an engineer needs to take a look at. And I would be shocked if somebody wasn't already spending a lot of time looking at that.
They are. I mean, yeah. There's been core samples done multiple times. There's people out there doing different tests on the land to determine primarily, I'm sure, who's at fault.
Yeah.
And who's going to have to fix it. But the concern, you know, I've talked with a couple of these engineers, and obviously they can't speculate and they don't know, but it could be a subsidence issue. You know, you're referring to as a compaction issue. I agree that's probably the likely culprit. But, you know, with the lift station being a critical part of that neighborhood and potentially a school site or a cultural site or a neighborhood, whatever this is going to be developed has to be looked into.
Can I add something there just real
sure.
quick? So just so you know, so when I mentioned earlier that there's a very robust site analysis done as part of the rezoning, so both Pima County Wastewater, who would be in control of the lift station and or responsible for the lift station, and then also Pima County Flood Control District, who owns the property out in Big Wash, immediately east of this property. So both of those entities also look at these applications. So as they're going through the review process, we get review comments from them as well. So they're part of that more holistic conversation to address if there's an existing issue out there that you're mentioning.
Okay, great.
So I do have one other person online who has not asked a question yet. So, Carlos, could we please have Bill Velasquez promoted, please? Just please make sure you're unmuted on your end as well.
Yes. Thank you. So I have a quick question about the access road that goes to the south out of Bestoso. You show a building right over that access road. That access road is also trail access to the Big Wash area. What will become of that road?
So part of what will be rotate around here.
Hey, and Paul, just as an FYI, they can't actually see the green mark up online. So
right.
Be as descriptive in your words as possible.
Thank you for the reminder. You knew where I was going. So the people here can see it, but the people at line can't. So the lift station you can see labeled as existing sewer stub. It's at the southeast corner of the Valley Vista subdivision. Well, going north from there, sort of along the boundary between Valley Vista and the dark green area, is erosion protection that was built as part of Pulte's subdivision. And that keeps the floodwaters and potential erosion from impacting those homes. And it has ties into property insurance and things like that. So our proposal will be to actually extend that. It's actually shown on here in a dashed line, and there's a label, but I realize it's probably hard to see at the scale on the screen. But we'll be extending the erosion protection south from there along the eastern edge of the lots. And then at the south end of the lots, it'll bend back to the west and tie into the hillside. So that's an answer to the trail question, because there's a trail along that bank protection. That trail will be extended. We'll also be providing trail access from this subdivision out to that trail, and that trail will provide access to the lots of trail alignments that exist within Big Wash. So this property, I guess the summary statement is, this property won't be cutting off trail access between Moore Loop and Big Wash.
Will there be temporary access during construction, or?
Yeah, probably not, just for liability reasons, but the final product would reestablish some access through there.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rowland. I'd like to give everybody here in the room another opportunity. Is there anybody who hasn't asked a question yet who'd like to ask one? Otherwise, we'll go back to the Adam Hughes. If you could unmute them, Carlos, please. We'll let you ask another question. Oh, well, we'll do Holly Leonard afterwards. I saw your hand just pop up. Sorry.
All right, this is Adam. Can you hear me again?
We can, yes. Go right ahead.
All right, thank you. Okay, I just had two more. It's actually comments, not so much questions. But my first comment is that on transportation, coming down Moore Loop, it's a pretty significant grade. It's pretty steep. You actually have to apply the brakes pretty hard just to stay on the road there. It's pretty steep grade, and then you've got that turn as you're also coming down the grade. And my concern when I saw where the access road is planned to be is that you're going to have people coming to sometimes almost a near complete stop to make a right-hand turn. And I could just see that becoming a real issue as far as people being rear-ended. And so my comment is that I would hope that you would strongly, or that I would suggest you strongly consider a long approach right turn lane there, so that people can move out of the path of travel while they're making that right-hand turn, and they don't run the risk of getting rear-ended by cars coming down the hill so fast. My second, I just have one other comment super quick, is
sure.
That there is that drainage wash that goes behind the back of the homes in Valley Vista. And at least from my vantage point, from behind my home, there's already been quite a bit of erosion. I think Pulte should have put in some riprap, some 6-inch rock to slow down the path of the water and keep it from eroding, but that didn't happen. And I'm just anticipating that with homes being built now on either side of that wash and on either side of that drainage, and people putting in hardscape landscaping and such, And most likely, I'm assuming those homes, those lots will drain to the north. The, you know, that's going to be the natural direction to drain those lots is to the north into that wash. And that that you're, or the developer consider putting in riprap back there to prevent further erosion issues. It could be exacerbated by the construction of these new homes. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Could we have Holly Leonard promoted, please, Carlos? And then we'll
come back to him. Oh. Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Go right ahead.
Great, thank you. I have a couple questions. The first, by the way, I'm a homeowner in the neighborhood, and I also sold the Pulte neighborhood Valley Vista. So full disclosure on that. My first question has pertains to the developer themselves. Do you have a purchase contract to purchase this piece of land, or who currently owns the piece of land as far as ownership at the moment?
The property is currently owned by an entity related to the original developer, Vistoso Partners. It's just one of their entities.
Thank you. Oh, my next question has to do with the zoning that you mentioned in your proposal. You mentioned that it was going to be medium density. However, the adjacent parcels are medium high density. I think you pointed that out. Could you clarify, because your plat shows medium high density, is it medium high density or medium density that you're going to build?
Okay, so I'm proposing medium density according to the Rancho Vistoso PAD. The Horizon subdivision is actually zoned high density. That was originally envisioned as an apartment development back in the 80s when Rancho Vistoso was designed. And then Valley Vista is also medium density. So the reference to medium high density that you may be referring to is what this particular property actually was zoned prior to the school district acquiring it. So we're proposing medium density just like Valley Vista.
Okay, thank you. Which is in your plan there at minimum lot size 5,000 square feet.
We're proposing 6,000 square feet. So 5,000 is the minimum in the medium density land use category in the Rancho Vistoso planned area development.
Sure.
But we're just not going down to the minimum. We're sticking with the same minimum that Valley Vista had.
Okay, thank you. I have another question about the future of that piece of land and regarding your ability to change it. So I understand your proposal now is for this plat. However, could you change that and become attached or even medium high density? It sounds like you could.
We'd have to go through exactly the same process. And I think I mentioned before that we looked at a lot of options before we came forward with this proposal. More than one of them were to actually push for something a little more dense, knowing that it used to be zoned for something more dense. But in the end, we decided that this was the most appropriate. I think it you know, it's the same lot size that was established in Valley Vista already. So we're not introducing a smaller product to the area. We're working with things that are already established. So, but you know, every property owner in Oro Valley is allowed to ask for zoning. It's just, you know, most of the time the chances of it getting approved are slim to none.
So perhaps my question is more for the town council in that, should you scrap your plans for some reason down the road to change this plat, because that can happen, or you have to revise it, does the town have a meeting again to address that, or how does that work?
And I can speak to that. That typically is, it depends on what the new proposal is. The town will review for what's known as a substantial difference, and that can be at a traffic circulation, the product being proposed, a number of different factors. And once it's been determined that a substantial change has been made, then yes, the request goes back through the full process of Planning and Zoning Commission, Town Council, as well as other public outreach. So really depends on what the new proposal looks like, but this rezoning and general plan amendment are very closely tied to the design proposed here.
And if I could add something to that, I've been working on development in Rancho Vistoso and Oro Valley for over 20 years, and I am 100% sure that a deviation such as what you're describing would absolutely be considered a major change, and we'd have to go right back through this same process.
Great. Thank you for answering that. Well, I have a couple other questions, but I don't know if anyone else has any, so I don't want to take full time.
Yeah, no, we've got actually a gentleman here who still has a couple, so if you wouldn't mind just keeping your hand up.
I'll bench them.
I'll circle back to you. So, Carlos, if you could mute Holly and then Jessica. Unless anybody else, so I'm going to keep asking until I get somebody. Got a question? No? Okay, go right ahead, sir.
Okay, so just to piggyback on the zoning, again, under the project overview, one of my questions was, it says in the last sentence here, the proposed density is approximately 1.5 homes per acre, which is much lower than the original planned 6 to 8 homes per acre. What are we talking about here? Because that doesn't make any sense. If we're doing 56 homes on 40 acres.
Mr. Rowland.
Sure. So the original zoning was medium high density residential, which the Rancho Vistoso planned area development describes as being 6 to 8 homes per acre. And we're talking gross acreage, right, per property. So, and that can seem misleading because you end up wrapping open space into that calculation, but that's the terminology that general plans use statewide, countrywide, really. So it makes sense to talk in those terms, in terms of gross density. So in terms of what we are proposing, we've got 56 lots. Maybe I did my math wrong. 56 lots on, it's actually about 36 acres. Yep. So maybe my math was wrong, but it's a way less than 6 to 8 homes per acre, and that was the point of the sentence.
Gotcha. And yeah, I guess part of that's misleading because if you look at your map, I see what you're saying about incorporating the entire parcel's land, but, you know, it makes it sound like if you're reading this and you're not, you know, in the know or have some, you know, knowledge of just acreage and homes on acreage, et cetera, that you're going to be spreading these homes out. And that's obviously not the case. They're all bunched up just like a regular medium density neighborhood. So that I just found that a little misleading and wanted to point that out. And then the other comment I had was just that this is more of a general comment for the town of Oro Valley to take into consideration that more houses in that sort of parameter don't really benefit the Rancho Vistoso neighborhood like a cultural site or a school would have. I know there's been this reference that the school would have created more traffic or lighted ball courts, but that is a 8 hour, 10 hour a day item with weekends, you know, only having activities by, you know, special events, things of that nature, which would not be the same traffic patterns that you'd see from a residential neighborhood. And other people have brought up the access point, which is already kind of dangerous the way it is. And now you add, 56 additional homes accessing that steep hill. It just seems like it's not the best plan.
Okay, thank you. Your comment has been noted. I don't see any other hands here in the room. Oh, all right, we got one over there.
Yeah, kind of following up on that discussion over gross area versus where you're actually building, there's probably 50% of the total plot there that is shown to be open. Is there a guarantee that that'll never be developed in the future with more houses going to the east or to the south?
Yeah, so
go right ahead.
Sure, sorry. Part of our proposal will be to actually zone that open space. So open space can't be developed, and it doesn't get rezoned too often.
So assuming this goes through, that will become open and will require rezoning to change that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, sir. Carlos, if you could go back to Holly online, unless there's any other new questioners online, or if anybody else has a second one, that's fine.
This was more of a comment. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Okay, great. Just that in the neighborhood integrity, it would appear to me that adjacent right to right next to Valley Vista is this neighborhood, not so much the Horizons neighborhood. It is much higher. It is much further away distance wise. And the integrity of Valley Vista is all single story. And, you know, I'm vehemently opposed to two stories of any sort right next door to that neighborhood. When purchasers purchased there, they expected no two stories next door to them, behind them, near them. A school site was what they expected, or a cultural site in the zoning. And as such, I would like to request, if it's going to become homes, you know, and I'm in the home business, which I'm not opposed to homes at the end of the day, but I am opposed to two stories. But again, I sold the homes in the neighborhood with the expectation of a school site cultural center being zoned back there. So I'm, you know, generally opposed to the neighborhood yet at this point, but I could warm up to it if there were no two stories in the neighborhood, again, with the integrity of the neighborhoods around it, adjacent and directly next to it.
Sure. It's something that we'll look at. Again, I don't think, I mean, I've walked this site. I've walked Valley Vista. I'm familiar with how the land form is and the directions of the primary views. But again, as I've said, I'm looking forward to meeting with a number of people who've spoken this evening to go out there and take a look on the ground at those views and you know, really explore what those impacts might actually be. And if mitigation is warranted, that's certainly something we can look at. I also want to say real quick, I think I heard you say it, and I think one other person, about a cultural site. And so this was never proposed to be any kind of cultural site. That's a zoning category. School is all it was ever proposed since it was proposed as medium high.
Okay. Thank
Great.
You, Ms. Rowland.
Thanks for clarifying. I was just going to point out, too, I am a property owner with the, as well as what I mentioned before. So we can look at how those views would be affected. That would be great.
Sure. So, Holly, if you wanted to send your name and address or contact information to ask@oralvalleyaz.gov, you can certainly be part of that conversation. We'll forward that to the applicant. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. And we do have one here in the audience.
So my math is also challenged. What's the percentage of open space in this parcel, and is there a town requirement for a minimum open space designation?
Sure. I don't have the minimum open space calc offhand, but I think it's got to be around 50% or more. There's no minimum. So, and that's actually... I was going to mention this before about the talk about the school site and people's expectations for what a school site would look like. So schools in Arizona don't have to listen to anybody when it comes to developing their sites. They don't have to follow the town's code in terms of building heights or setbacks or anything else. So in terms of expectations for what that could look like, if it was a school site, the sky is the limit. AmFi could go in there and, you know, put as many and as tall buildings as they want to. They could go grade as much of the wash as they wanted to. And that's just the reality of how school districts operate. So just managing expectations.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other questions here? Okay, we've got more over there.
This is a question directly for you, sir. You had mentioned that the Valley Vista lots were elevated, brought in fill dirt above and beyond the natural grade. I'm assuming the same thing would apply here, especially since you have to extend the bank protection, just like the Valley Vista development. You showed that you'd extend it out behind there. Do you have an estimate of how much those lots would be elevated? Because that's going to have a huge impact from the natural. I would assume you can't build on the natural soil the way it sits right now because of flooding issues. How high would that be raised?
At this point, very early in the rezoning process, I have no idea. But it would be the easternmost lots just on Valley Vista, the ones that are actually down closer to the where the floodplain migrates from decade to decade back and forth across the Big Wash Valley. So, but it would be similar, right? I mean, the amount that the Valley Vista, the eastern Valley Vista lots were raised, probably similar.
Sure. And to that is exactly what I am objecting to and reiterating the sentiment of the other folks who have mentioned the two stories. If those homes are two stories and they are on an elevated pad, say another 4 feet higher than what is existing, because that's pretty far down into the low part of the wash, when you say in your project overview that no views will be, of Push Ridge, I think you specifically mentioned, that's just absurd to think that it wouldn't block those views. So you can come out and bring a pole and show me, but my view will be pretty much destroyed if there are two stories along that back edge.
Okay. We'll see. I'm very curious. I respectfully disagree. I just don't think that's the case. I would also mention, you didn't say it this time, but every other time you spoke, you used the word seems misleading, which implies intent, and that's absolutely not the case.
Okay. No worries. And I'm just saying it seems misleading to me when I read some of the things in here. There's, you know, several mistakes as we've covered. You know, the homes are not of Horizon are not 60 feet lower. They're probably 60 feet higher. The math didn't seem to add up. I didn't do it. I could sit here and pencil that. But no, I'm not saying it's intentionally done. Just more of a, if you're going to submit something as a project overview for the public to read, it ought to have its T's crossed and I's dotted carefully.
Let's sit down, you and I.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't see any other hands on Zoom, and I don't suppose there are any more in here. I don't see them going up, so I appreciate everyone's time. I'm just going to finish here quickly. Just with a reminder of what we saw before of the upcoming review step. So like I said, we do anticipate a formal submittal coming in soon. Staff will work with the applicant on achieving code compliance, and then we'll come back before you with a revised submittal on showing what that looks like. And then they'll ultimately be considered by both the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council, which are also public hearings and open to public commentary and participation. So I would ask you, if you have any other questions following tonight's meeting or tomorrow or whenever, to please contact Ms. Jessica Hine, who was so helpful tonight with the microphone. She is our constituent services coordinator. And all of those emails that go to ask@oralvalleyaz.gov go to her, and then she forwards them on to us. So I really appreciate everybody's time. The one thing I forgot to point out earlier is we do have a good resource for neighbors called ovprojects.com. It's a website run by the town where this project will have its own webpage. And when we do get that formal submittal and we get updated traffic information or drainage information or anything associated with this project, we will continuously update it onto that page. So that's a good way of staying informed. I encourage you to go bookmark it on your computer or your iPad or whatever. And then, of course, we'll continue to update it as the project moves forward. So I appreciate everybody's time. Like I said, we'll stay afterwards if you've got any remaining questions, but I hope you all have a lovely evening. Thank you.